snake calling on her phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind. Cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. All right.
All right, you are listening to CITR Radio, and you're back with Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, for another week. My name's Matt. You can catch this show online at ozstrandedradio.com. That's where you'll find the blog with lots of podcasts, set lists for each show, and a film clip I put up each week as well. And on Twitter, it's ozstrandedradio. And I hope you've been enjoying the interviews that I've been preparing this year. I've tried to get as many as I can recorded because there's so many fascinating people around that I could talk to either in person here in the city of Vancouver or on the phone if they're in Australia or other parts of Canada. And this week, I do speak to a very interesting gentleman out of Toronto. Jamie Vernon phoned through. Jamie is not only a musician, but he is quite the music scholar. He has spent many, many years in a dedicated pursuit of recording the history of Canadian independent music. And it has all come to great fruition with last year's publication of the Canadian Pop Music Encyclopedia, which was over 13 years in the making and pretty much a solo effort from Jamie. It's out on Bullseye Canada, which is his self-publishing company, and I'm hoping to get a copy here for the radio station. I think it's going to be a fantastic read and a really good resource. Jamie phoned through this week and told us all about what the Canadian music pop music encyclopedia is all about and how he came about to embark on such an ambitious project, which has really succeeded. So I really hope you're able to tune in the later part of the show for that. And we'll devote quite a bit of time, actually, to playing some older Canadian music because we'll revisit this CD that I discovered in our playlist. It's called Have Not Been the Same, the Canrock Renaissance, 1985 to 1995. So it's a compilation that was put together last year featuring a whole bunch of old Canadian bands like Sloan, Bob Wiseman, Pursuit of Happiness, Jane Sibrey, lots of great stuff. So I thought after we speak with Jamie, it'd be great to play a couple more tracks, at least from this compilation. And Jamie actually requested his own tracks too, so that's really exciting for you to hear later on, some Canadian music. And let's start with Australian stuff, and again, dipping back into the past, the near-distant past though this time. I don't tend to play too much music from the mid-2000s period. I've been out of Australia for a while now, so it was hard for me for a little while, especially when I was traveling, to really keep up with what was happening. And two bands that sort of passed me by a little bit at the time, but I'm going to play for you now. First band is called Children Collide, and the second band is called The Greats. And I'm playing these because I picked these CDs up at Zulu Records at the Catalano Festival that blocks off all of 4th Avenue. Shops like Zulu really take advantage of the traffic of people, and they had a whole bunch of CDs, cheap CDs, in their racks out the front, and these were two Australian ones that I found. So let's play first up a couple of tracks from Children Collide. So they were an indie rock band from Melbourne in Australia, and this record was their debut. It came out in, let's see, 2008. The record's called The Long Now, and I'm going to play for you two tracks from this. First up is track two called Social Currency, and then Farewell Rocket Ship. So here we go. This is Children Collide from Melbourne, Australia, going back to 2008. We'll be right back.
This world, it is not safe. We must make plans to leave this place. We'll build a colony on nearby planets known to me. Goodbye, 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 goodbye to all the ones I'll miss. Goodbye, 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 goodbye to war and politics. They'll stay here and meet their end. Sneak up without a trace and start a brand new human race. Goodbye, 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 goodbye to all the ones I'll miss. Goodbye, 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 goodbye to war and politics. We'll just need you and me.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, Beru Latino Restaurante, The Bike Kitchen, Cove, Dentry's Pub, Displaced Hatchery, Limelight, The Eatery, Fresh is Best Salsa, Gargoyles, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Welcome back. This is CITR Radio, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. Thanks for tuning in. And a couple of tracks there from Melbourne band called Children Collide from their debut release that came out in 2008. You heard the tracks Social Currency and Farewell Rocket Ship from the release called The Long Now. Another Australian band from around that era, or that started recording around that era, is The Greats. I'm going to play for you a couple of tracks from their record called Gravity Won't Get You High, also, which is a debut, came out in 2006. Let's play for you first up 192020, and then another track called Science is Golden. And after that, we're going to get in pretty quickly into the today's interview, which with Jamie Vernon. He is an author from Eastern Canada, a musician as well, and he has a very, very deep knowledge of Canadian music. So keep listening, folks. First up, a couple of tracks from The Greats.
I don't know why you leave me outside. I'm Shani from Inepsi. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You're listening to Stranded, the Australian Canadian music show on CITR Radio. And two more tracks there from a band from Australia called The Greats, from the record Gravity Won't Get You High. And that came out in 2006. The Greats were from Brisbane, Australia. I believe they're still around. This is their debut record. And they got noticed fairly quickly. Played on Triple J Radio. And have done a lot of touring, I believe, throughout the world. From Brisbane, Queensland. And I picked that up at the Zulu Records shop just a couple of weeks back, along with the Children Collide CD, the first band that I played for you today. So we're going to get into the Canadian music already, and very extra special show today if you're a lover of history, because I've interviewed Jamie Vernon, the author of a fabulous book called The Canadian Encyclopedia of Pop Music. And we'll get into that interview very soon. I wanted to get you in the mood with a track from 1986. Let's go back to a band called Poisoned from Vancouver, featuring Art Bergman. He wrote the music and lyrics for this song called Final Cliché in 1986. And Art Bergman was on lead guitar and vocals. And this will get us in the mood for this interview with Graeme Vernon, who's got a lot to say about Canadian music history, and he's written a lot about that. So I hope you enjoy what's going to come up in the next half hour or so, including the music, because Jamie's selected a couple of bands that he likes, and I'm certainly enjoying learning about the musical heritage of this country. That's why I do this show. It's a big part of it. Okay, so here we go. Here's Art Bergman with his band Poisoned from 1986.
Got the hose from the exhaust pipe and put it in the window. But went to sleep. It sank like a stone, like the sun into the sea permanently.
You're tuning in to Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. Thanks for listening and going right back there to 1986. Vancouver music legend Art Bergman had a band back then called Poisoned, and you heard Final Cliché, and you can find that on the compilation Have Not Been the Same, the Can Rock Renaissance, 1985 to 1995. I've been really getting a kick out of this compilation. Great learning and a wonderful segue into today's interview. Earlier this week, I spoke with Jamie Vernon on the phone from Toronto. Jamie is a musician and a music scholar. He is the sole driving force behind the Canadian Pop Music Encyclopedia, which can now be found online and in print form. It was finalized late last year after 13 years of hard work. And Jamie has a wealth of information, and you can tell, you'll tell in the next 20, 30 odd minutes that he is very passionate about what he does. So I started out the interview asking Jamie about his own musical journey, and he spoke first of all about the punk group that he was in way back in Ontario.
And over time, we put out one record, one 7-inch single. And then that fell apart, and I formed a second band that was more, alternative rock at that time, early 80s, called Moving Targets. And over 9 years, we went through a lot of musical changes, as well as musicians in the band, and we ended up putting out 3 albums, 5 EPs, and we toured endlessly until it finally self-destructed in the early 90s. We kind of got crushed by the whole grunge thing. So from there, I mean, I had a day job, and the Moving Targets thing, it kind of spawned its own record label, Bullseye Records. So once the 90s rolled around and I was doing my full-time gig, I decided to run the label part-time. And by the end of the 90s, it became full-time. I ended up quitting my day job, and I found an investor, and we decided we were going to start reissuing Canadian classic rock, because the major labels hadn't jumped on the bandwagon yet to digitize everything. So there wasn't very many CDs out for classic rock, and the ones that were, it was all the big names. We decided to grab up some obscure stuff, and including bands like Klaatu and Gatto and Moxie and a number of other acts from in and around Canada that had some success. And, after that, the labels didn't want to deal with them anymore, even though they were still together and still, you know, performing and still writing songs. So, and from there, while I was doing all that, I was basically putting together the history of Canadian music at the same time. One kind of fell into the other, you know, because I already had the record label. I was able to get access to all these acts and ask them questions and put biographies together. And it was being housed online on one of the earliest internet websites for the Toronto Sun, one of the newspapers. And they had a database that had been written by another author, and their deal expired with him, and he didn't want to update it. So they came to me knowing that, you know, I had the knowledge, and said, "Do you want to update it?" So I did, and that was in July 1998. And I finally got around, in the last 2 years, putting it all to book form. Because people had begged for it. They've been asking for years and years and years to have it in a book, and people told me I was crazy. They said, you know, books are old-fashioned, go with an e-book and stuff, but, you know, people that like reading books about music are also the ones that think 8-track tapes are still pretty nifty. So
that's right. And, yeah. And I mean, and off-air, the first thing I asked you was, Jamie, can you please send a copy to this radio station?
Because that's it. Well, people need it.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few universities libraries and radio stations that have asked me for copies for their own reference, because you just can't. You've got to do a lot of research online. I mean, for me to put together, you would have to spend at least that much amount of time doing the exact same thing, trying to find all this info. You know, and I have the luxury of having access to a lot of these musicians over the years, so it was kind of easy to get the formative stuff and the most popular stuff. It was digging deep and trying to get all the rare things in there that I had the most fun with.
Did you operate in sort of concentric circles out from where you were? That obviously, like, Ontario was something you could get a much better handle on than Alberta, for instance.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And not that I've avoided it, but there isn't as much French-Canadian Quebecois music listed in the book for the obvious reason that I think it's got its own star system, and I want to do a separate volume just on Quebec music alone. I'm not as familiar with it, so I'll probably get help, and I'll want to do it in two languages as well, because I expect that Quebec people want to know about it, and I need somebody from Quebec to help me, because what would an Anglophone guy from Ontario know about French music?
Absolutely.
You know, I need some integrity to the whole thing, and to do that, I need somebody that knows as much as I do about Quebec music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, to move out from Ontario to all the other provinces and stuff, it's tough. You know, I've visited some of these places, but I don't know a lot about it. I didn't grow up in those music scenes, so I kind of tapped into people that are pretty influential in those scenes, you know, in Calgary and Edmonton and Winnipeg and Regina, Saskatoon, and in, of course, Vancouver. You know, Vancouver's got a huge music scene.
And Winnipeg, too. Actually, funnily enough, last week I interviewed a woman named Delana Gail Bowen, who is a soul singer, or blues singer, here. And it turns out she grew up in Winnipeg and was gigging at the exact same time as Randy Bachman, Neil Young. She literally, like, lived in share houses with these guys and stuff
that.
So that's another example of scenes that had to be documented, you know? And they were. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many of them, and that's the thing. You know, I've got people coming to me all the time saying, oh, but you miss these guys. You know, I've got the majority of everything. I've surprised a lot of people because they'll go look at the encyclopedia and go, oh, my God, I didn't realize you knew anything about this act. And when I do come up with, you know, there's an artist that I didn't know anything about, I'm even surprised. You know, but you can, I mean, there's a finite amount of knowledge you can have, and there's an infinite amount of music that's out there. So.
Yeah. Realistically, you probably have the second volume. It's going to just probably happen eventually, just through what's going to hit you. Yeah.
Well, this is actually two books. I mean, there's so much information. I had to split it into two encyclopedias. So it's volumes A through K and then L through Z. And I'll do a separate one on country artists because this is a pop encyclopedia. It's mostly about popular music. And then one on Quebec. You know, that's how much music's out there.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Welcome back, and you are tuning into Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You heard there Blackie and the Radio Kings from their record Let's Frolic, out on True North Records, and the track was called Life is Golden, and as picked by Jamie Vernon, our interviewee this week, he called through from Toronto, and you've heard the first part of the interview just before that track. Jamie is the author of a fabulous book called The Canadian Pop Music Encyclopedia. Let's get back into the interview now. Do you actively say to the world, anyone, please, if you want to update, email me? Or is that like an, is it already an avalanche you don't want to?
It's kind of ongoing because the website's still up and it has a link on every single page saying if you have submissions, updates, revisions, what have you, let me know. I get probably about half a dozen, sometimes a dozen emails a week from people that have seen it saying, oh, you know, you spelled so-and-so's name wrong, or you forgot about this band, or you forgot about this singer. And then I'll do my research and include it. I've got the encyclopedias have been out almost a year now in paper form, and I'll probably update it just before Christmas this year and put out, you know, volume twos of this stuff as a revision, because there's been new artists as well. You know, I'm adding, you know, Carly Rae Jepsen had to be put in there because last year she was nothing. She was nobody. Now all of a sudden she's a superstar. So that had to be added.
Are you still sticking to the rule? I know initially it was a band that's at least been around for a year and with a physical product.
See, and I have this argument with people all the time because I've got bands that have been around a year, but they're still struggling in the basement. And I said, for you to be included in this now, the criteria, it can't be physical product anymore or even distribution, because, I mean, I've had to slide with that the same as the music industry has. Everybody's putting stuff out digitally. So there's got to be some kind of track record there, because there's 10,000 artists in this country every day trying to make it. So it's kind of like, what makes you different? What makes you think that you should be included in this book to sit alongside the Randy Bachmans and the Neil Youngs? So I've put the onus on the artist to show me how important they are. You know, and it's tough because that's an ego stroke, right?
You know,
people are like, well, I'm greater than blah, blah. It's not about talent. It's about your presence. You know, how active are you in promoting yourself? How much press have you gotten? Who's talking about you? Show me your Facebook page. How many fans do you have? You know, to me, that shows there's an initiative, and it isn't just somebody who's a songwriter cranking out stuff onto iTunes and then not really doing anything to let the world know they exist, you know, and that's kind of the key to how successful everybody's ever been. You know, back in the old days, it was record labels that did the promotion. Now you got to do it yourself.
Right.
So just show me that you're not some fly-by-night act that's going to go disappear in a year or two.
Yeah.
And that's why I put the criteria as a year. Most bands self-destruct between 6 and 9 months. It's just the nature of the beast, you know, and it's like, well, show me you've got longevity. Show me there's a career path here. Then I can keep updating the encyclopedia with all your new releases as years go on. Now, of course, there's always an end date. Like, a lot of bands split up after 6, 7, 8 years or what have you, which is fine. But show me you've done something. And, you know, anybody can put out a CD. Anybody. So, you know, give me something substantial that you've actually accomplished something, or that this is something that you're actively doing. It's not just a basement hobby.
I really love to think that, who knows, this conversation, someone listening right now, it might light the fire under them. It helps to light the fire.
Yeah, I don't want to dissuade anybody from it because they don't think they're important enough. I had a guy come to me, and I've known him for many, many years, and I've known him as kind of a hobbyist, and then he kind of went, well, I should be in the encyclopedia. And I said, well, why? And he wrote out his resume, and I said, yes, you should. Why didn't you mention this before, right? So, you know, if you've got the goods, if you've been at it for a while, I know it's tough. Some artists have only been around a year, so it's kind of hard. But, you know, it'd be nice to know that people are actually out there trying. Because I'm a musician as well, it's kind of like, come on, you can do this. You know, you can get out there. You can rise above some of the other local people that you've got. And you've got to think globally and not just local. It was easy in the old days to kind of sit in Ontario or even another province and just play that tour around because there were so many clubs and so many places you could play. You could literally make a living for the rest of your life sitting in one spot. But now it's a global world, and there's an internet there. And you know, if we're going to include acts with just a digital presentation, then you got to show me there's more than just a couple of tunes up on iTunes or on Reverb Nation. You know what I mean?
It's actually getting out there and playing shows, which actually I often draw parallels with Australia. This is the show, Australian Canadian Music Show, and,
sure.
And when people try to say what is it about Australian music that's different, or typically what people say is that there's the real tradition of getting out there and playing because the population is so small.
For sure.
That bands that even NXS, who seemed like this polished band that was, you know, perfect for the mainstream, even they started as a raw pub band for years and years.
Absolutely.
And, so that's what you that's what you're getting at, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a, you know, an overnight success sometimes takes 20 years. You know, and it's just catching on. Sometimes, like with Australia, because of the isolation, it takes a long time to make it count somewhere else for other people to take notice. And even Canada's that way. I mean, America just dominates, and the Brits are really dominating in the music, in the pop music biz as well. And Canada's still banging on doors and trying to get credibility.
It's that age-old question mark with the Tragically Hip. Why weren't they much, much bigger elsewhere?
That's for sure. Absolutely. Blue Rodeo, 5440. You know, a lot of those bands, they've sustained long careers. I mean, 5440 has been around almost 30 years now, and they play in the States and stuff, but they're not a name, just not a name down there.
I'm going to test your knowledge. I was just thinking, this part of the world, a couple of bands that I've come across that I never would have in a million years, but for people I've run into have told me about them. I'm going to mention two bands, see if they ring any bells, and see if maybe they were included in the encyclopedia. One is called Painter.
Yep.
And can you tell me what was their hit single, or what they're most well known for?
Painter. Not Midnight Woman.
Close. The word woman is in there.
Yeah. Oh, damn. See, now you caught me off guard.
Well, that's pretty good, actually. I think
about it. Yeah, because they were Shades of Blonde initially, and then they changed their name to Painter, and then they changed their name again to Hammersmith, and it just went on and on. All the members of the band just went on to different bands after that.
It's so close. I
can't think of it.
It's, West Coast Woman.
West Coast Woman. Oh, yeah. Sorry. See, yeah. I failed at my own encyclopedia.
I was still pretty impressed there, Hammersmith, and yeah, you were right. Their debut album, Painter, was released in 1973. Their big hit, West Coast Woman, also were known as Hammersmith, 451, and Prototype.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was later.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but earlier they were, before they were Painter, they were called Shades of Blonde.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that's something even Wikipedia doesn't seem to have. So.
There you go.
So for anyone else who's curious, that's the band Painter, and they formed in Calgary in 1970, and there's a really great YouTube clip of them on there. And we've I interviewed the bassist on this show a while back. He still lives in Vancouver. Okay, well, the next one, and this is a band I just found out about last night, when I was at an open mic, and the proprietor of the pub told me about this band, Prism.
Yes. Yeah, Prism's from Vancouver.
And what tragedy happened to that band?
Well, Ron Tabak died tragically under mysterious circumstances because he had had an accident on a bicycle, and the police took him in for observation, and he didn't come out the next morning. He died in a jail cell.
Oh, wow.
He was under arrest. They just didn't know what was wrong with him. So
they
thought he was inebriated. They thought he could sleep it off.
Wow. And so that was the singer from
the
band.
That's correct. And then he passed away, and the band kept going, and they brought in a guy by the name of Henry Small. He was actually an electric violin player.
Okay.
But he could sing really well, too.
And so that's the band Prism. Canadian rock band originally from Vancouver, BC, who were active from 1977 to 1984. And then one last one, which should be pretty easy, because this band did reap reform and play here on the weekend. Black Flag, who was the Canadian one-time singer of Black Flag?
Black Flag's from California.
And they had a number of singers and over the years, and one of them was actually a Canadian gentleman who still lives here in the city of Vancouver.
No, you got me. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, his name's Ron Reyes. And they actually, Black Flag just reformed, and Greg Ginn, the original guitarist, brought his current incarnation of the band up here about 2 weekends ago, and Ron Reyes came out of retirement to sing, and he played on one of their EPs, I believe. There you go. That's maybe something.
Well, I got to get him in the encyclopedia. I had no idea.
Yeah, there you go. So that's part of Vancouver.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show on CITR 101.9 FM. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter, at Australian Radio. So, going back into the past of British Columbia rock and roll, West Coast Woman, the classic from Painter. And that is we're revisiting a great interviewee, Wayne Morris from Painter, the bass player, the original bass player. We interviewed him in 2010. If you go to the blog, ozstrandedradio.com, the playlist for 30th of August 2010, I've got a great interview with Wayne Morris from that 70s Vancouver band. And you heard the classic West Coast Woman. And our interviewee this week, Jamie Vernon, is well aware of Painter. He added them to the Canadian Pop Music Encyclopedia, which is the volume that he completed writing just last year. It's been really great chatting this week with Jamie, so let's get into the next part of the interview. I'm curious too, in terms of compiling something as monumental as this, do any anecdotes stick out in your mind of your own experience recording this? People who contacted you, I'm sure there's dozens and dozens, but anything that stuck out?
Yeah, a really odd one. Duncan White was the singer for a kind of a sha-na-na kind of band called the Greaseball Boogie Band back in the 70s. They had one album out. Actually, it was a double album, early 70s. And then they were kind of massaged by the record label and told, you know, if you guys went a little more commercial and got an angle to your stuff and we could put some songwriters together with you, you guys could probably have a good shot at getting on the charts. So they changed their name to Shooter, S-H-O-O-T-E-R, not to be confused with Trooper, and they were signed to GRT Records, which is now defunct, but they were Prism's record label. Duncan, who was the lead singer of this thing, was telling me that they brought in Ralph Murphy to produce it, and he'd done the first two April Wine albums, and Ralph said, look, I'll find you some songs. He had his own publishing company, and he found two Leo Sayer tunes. Now, Leo Sayer was a Brit who was actually, right now, he's actually living in Australia for the last two decades, which brings back to your topic here. But Leo wrote Show Must Go On for Three Dog Night. He had his own hits with When I Need You and You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. And he had a song called Train and a song called I Can Dance. So Shooter recorded both those tunes and put them on their debut, and they both went top 10. So oh. Ralph kind of had a neat ear for that whole thing. And Duncan had contacted me. And it was really kind of neat because he's in his 70s and retired now, and he just wanted to set the record straight and make sure that Shooter made it into the encyclopedia. So I was kind of proud of the idea that, you know, he wanted desperately to be in this thing because he'd heard about what I was doing. Mm. And he said, you know, we're not on the internet, you know, there's very few websites that even mention us. He said, if I can get in the encyclopedia that you're doing, he says, it's something to leave for my grandkids. What happened was he did the interview with me, I took down his information, and it led to a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, it spidered out into, he gave me the information about all the different bands he was in and the people he played with, and that helped with, obviously, biographies for all the other bands, a whole bunch of other bands that were in the encyclopedia. So he said, let me send you some old, you know, newspaper clippings and some photos of the band and everything. You can include whatever you want. And I said, okay. So I get this package in the mail, and everything was in there, like he said, you know, some promo shots and some articles from when the band charted and things like that. And then he sent me copies of autographs of the Toronto Maple Leafs from the 1967 Stanley Cup Finals. He had met them all because the band he was in before, the Greaseball Boogie Band, had actually been hired by Conn Smythe, one of the big wigs in the hockey, NHL, play the after party for the Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup. So here's these autographs of these hockey players. It's like, oh my God, you know, Tim Horton and, you know, people like that who are on the team, which was just totally out of the blue. So I thanked him for that, and, you know, now he's in there in the encyclopedia for his grandkids to see and know that Grandpa was a rock star at one time.
There's so many more. I mean, these stories are probably just kind of keep piling up for you over the years.
Oh, for sure. You know, and that, you know, Peter Foldy, you were asked me about Peter Foldy, who was Australian and moved to Canada when he was very, very young. And he contacted me at the beginning, like right when I first got the encyclopedia off the ground. He was one of the first guys to contact me and said, here's my story, you know, here's the things, and I'll continue to update you. So we've been friends all these years because of that. And I ran a record label at the same time, full time, so we were trying to work out a way where he might be able to get on the label, but his stuff was tied up with his old record label, Capitol. So it was a tough situation where I couldn't get his catalog back so that we could reissue it. Capitol had it, so but we've remained friends regardless. Mm. So.
Well, and he's the reason that I discovered you and your work, so that's a wonderful connection too.
Well, I have to thank him because he's been he's a relentless promoter of everything. Anything he believes in, he'll push it. He's Canadian.
Yeah.
Even though he's Australian, he's Canadian.
Yeah, that's right. And
well, I mean, the fun fact about him is that, you know, his biggest hit was Bondi Junction, the song.
Hmm.
So, and everybody's like, oh, Bondi Junction, where is that? Well, it's in Australia. So if you want to go for a visit, head to Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he tell you that? Did he tell you the story about, you know, his childhood connection to the Bee Gees?
He did. I interviewed him. Actually, we have a podcast. Anyone listening, go to the blog, AustrandedRadio.com, look up Peter Foldy, and his story is really quite fascinating.
It's not fair, I won't be there, standing beside you. You think I'm wasting your time, not towing the line, I always misguide you. Now you're sipping vino, or is it cappuccino, as you give your heart away. Always thought that we were connected. Losing you like this is rather unexpected. Carly, can't you see I'm trying? 1 minute more, that's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that something to prove, and you think it's a cinch. Weren't you the one to declare you'd always be there? Now it's inconsequential. I'm staring out the window, sitting here in limbo, watching night turn into day. Suddenly our love feels suspended. Is it true? Have I really been unfriended? Carly, can't you see I'm trying? 1 minute more, that's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. In this crazy world we live in, taking, they're not giving. All I wanna do is help you open up your eyes. Carly, make up your mind. Are you gonna be mine? Am I being intrusive? I put a post on your wall saying love conquers all. I know it's conclusive. The sounds of hallelujah are loud enough to fool ya when you're lost in nowhere land. It hurts to think that you're not behaving. Maybe it's a drag, but this love is still worth saving. Carly, can't you see I'm trying?
This is Tom Ferris from Mold. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Welcome back to Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. And there's Peter Foldy with a beautiful track there called Carly. Peter Foldy was a guest of ours on the show last year, podcast number 139. If you go to the blog, ozstrandedradio.com, podcast 139 of January, actually, of this year, not that long ago. And Peter, of course, had a fascinating life story where he was a friend of the Bee Gees when they were first starting out, when Peter lived in Sydney. He's now based in Los Angeles and is a filmmaker and photographer and still makes music. Of course, Jamie Vernon, who is our guest on the show today, is a good friend of Peter's, and that's actually how I was able to get in contact with Jamie in the first place. So thanks, Peter, for this great contact, and I hope you've enjoyed this interview. Jamie Vernon, the author of a fabulous book all about Canadian music. And let's get into the final part of that interview, and we'll play some more music that has been recommended by Jamie Vernon himself. Okay, here we go. Just going back to what you were saying, even though you're saying you're raising the bar and you're like, I want people who have put the work in, rah rah rah. I mean, that's a good thing, because ultimately you're still shining the light on the 90% of people who don't get the support of the labels. So
that's
you're
correct.
Telling,
yes.
You're really talking about people who, against the odds, which is basically almost everyone. So for them to get recognition is really significant.
For sure. You know, and it's funny, people are like, oh, pop artists like Justin Bieber and blah, blah. And I said, yeah, they're in there. I said, but there's a really in fact, the majority of everything that's in these two volumes of the encyclopedia are do-it-yourself recording artists. You know, the whole punk movement is there. The 1960s pre-major label. Canada didn't have its first major label in this country until the late 60s. So there was records being manufactured in this country going back to the 40s and the 30s. And people don't realize that. Columbia Records had always been here. No, RCA were the first guys in town. And they weren't signing anybody. They were basically just, you know, it was satellite offices in New York and L.A. looking here for a place in terms of another territory to distribute their American product. And only over time, when they hired Canadian people to work in that office, did they realize that there was actually a community here that they could exploit. And I use the word exploit because that's what they did. They came in and went, oh my God, you know, there's some local bars here and there's these musicians. You know, these guys are pretty good and they're writing their own songs. Let's sign them. And then radio followed. You know, then you get into the whole Canadian content issue, which I believe Australia has the same preservationist thing with their music as well. A certain percentage of Australian music has to be homegrown to get on the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what Canada and Australia share that in common as well.
Yeah, and it's extremely important. On an independent station here too, we really abide by that. Also, for the future of your project, I was just thinking, like someone like myself doing a podcast, and if you were to go to my blog, you would see a lot of interviews now. I've done almost 20 at least this year, and there's probably a lot of other shows around now on podcasts, and who knows that in 5 years' time you could click on a whole bunch of those interviews and get information about people. So
yep.
That's another interesting frontier to help people like yourself is of the historical.
Absolutely. And I appreciate it too, because, you know, without other people having their own interests, you know, there's certain artists I know nothing about. And you'll do a search on them, and it's like, wow, here's an entire fan site dedicated to April Wine. And it's just a fan's version of what's going on. But because this person isn't wrapped up in the whole politics of the record label or even the band, it hasn't been sanitized.
Mm.
It hasn't been, because that's what happens. I mean, every time an artist puts out a new record, their biography gets whitewashed. Basically, the old information is torn out. They put new stuff in there because they want to promote the new project.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard. I was having a hard time with artists in the 90s, actually, because when the internet kind of exploded, people went back and went, oh, do you remember these old bands from the 60s? Oh, do you remember these old bands from the 70s? Now we're at the generation where people my age, you know, I'm just pushing 50 here, are starting to talk about, wow, weren't the 80s great? Here's these great Canadian bands from the 80s. Well, the 90s is a void right now because we haven't hit that generation of people that have become nostalgic about it. So I had a real difficult time finding stuff about some of these bands that got signed in 91, 92. Fortunately, I ran a music magazine at the time. So I had gotten most of that product in for review. So I had to go back to my album reviews and go, oh yeah, I remember this, you know, this band called Freewater from Vancouver, and they only put out one record. And you know, suddenly they're in the encyclopedia, and everybody's like, oh my God, you remember Free Water? They played at my pub, you know,
yeah.
They only put out one record and then they split up. So similarly, anybody that's putting up, for instance, podcasts, dedicating websites to certain music, video channels, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I've gone to YouTube to find all kinds of stuff, people putting up really rare 7-inch singles and all kinds of stuff. And then what happens is it proliferates and people go, wow, I remember that act. My Uncle John was in that band. And then I'd write to that person going, well, your Uncle John was in the band? Who else was in the band? So, of course, they'd go back and ask their uncle, and suddenly there's a dialogue formed, which is great.
Well, listeners in Vancouver, we've probably identified a little period. Anyone huge fan of the 90s period of Vancouver music, maybe Jamie could use some of your information. You never know.
That would be awesome.
Hey, hey, this is Blaine from The Accused, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
This is CITR Radio, and that wraps up our interview with Jamie Vernon, calling all the way down the line from Toronto, Ontario, this week in regard to his book, The Canadian Pop Music Encyclopedia. Now, if you go to bullseyecanada.com, you can order your own copy of the book as an electronic version. Also, you can order a hard copy version, and hopefully we have a hard copy version coming to the station. I'd love that, to have it as a little encyclopedic reference point here for all the DJs and music lovers. I hope you enjoyed that interview and also the music that Jamie selected. And one more band that I'd like to play that Jamie mentioned is a band called the Paolas, who I really didn't know much about, but the name Bob Rock stuck out in my mind as a big name music producer, and I knew that he was from these parts. So going right back, he was in a band called the Paolas, who were around in the post-punk era. And they had a record called In a Place Like This. It was their first record, and I found the vinyl here on the CITR library. It looks like it's had a lot of playing over the years. Way back then, they had little bits of paper on the front, and people would write their signature and the date they played, and a lot of people played this record. I imagine they were quite popular in the day. I want to play for you a track called China Boys. It's the single. It was actually the very first song that the band ever wrote, and they got picked up and put on a record label after only recording two songs, apparently. China Boys, I believe, was somewhat of a topical political piece, something in relation to maybe xenophobia or some narrow-minded views about immigration policy at the time in Canada, and which actually is kind of good timing, because right now, if you're following the news in Australia, we've had some pretty remarkably dim-witted political moves to restrict the access of boat people to Australia. There are a lot of refugees who arrive on boat, and unfortunately our current Prime Minister has decided to go very hard line and refuse any entry of any boats to the Australian mainland, and instead they're all going to be diverted to Papua New Guinea. So people fleeing all sorts of horrid circumstances, looking for a new life, are not going to arrive in the safe and prosperous country of Australia at all. And they're all going to be forced onto the island of New Guinea. And who knows if that's going to work out very well. Probably not. Anyway, the track that the Paolas wrote way back was called China Boys. And it's off their record called In a Place Like This. Let's play it for you now, featuring Bob Rock on guitar and voice.
Do I hate him calling? I'm after you. him never to be rude.
Boy,
he dresses like a gangster.
He wrestled with an hamster.
He's here to get you all in the nude.
Boys
and girls.
It's not just this scene old show on your radio. Scotty Scenic Drive, Monday, 11 a.m. to noon, 101.9 FM, CITR Vancouver.
And we're almost out of time here on Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show. We have African Rhythms coming up next with David Love Jones. So those last two tracks there, you heard there, the Payolas, featuring Bob Rock, who has since gone on to be a really big name, a rock producer. The Payolas were his very first band, and we went right back to their debut. And you heard the song called China Boys. And after that was the Young Canadians from an EP called This Is Your Life that Bob Rock actually produced. So from a similar era there, the Young Canadians. And the track was called This Is Your Life from the EP of the same name. So thanks for tuning in today. It's been a great show. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jamie Vernon. In regard to that fantastic book, The Canadian Pop Music Encyclopedia. Now, just to leave you with a band called The Odds. So there is the Wise Alive benefit concert taking place on August 9th of this year. The Wise is the Wise Hall, just off Commercial Drive there. There's been issues there with a campaign to improve sound insulation in the hall to make sure it doesn't get shut down. So there's going to be a great big concert on August 9th to raise awareness of the issue and to keep the Wise open. Get down there, the Wise Hall in Vancouver. And here is a great band called The Odds from the 90s. Hope you enjoy this. This is from an album called Neapolitan, which was their debut album. And I picked a song there called Wendy Under the Stars. And apparently it's about the singer's Stephen Drake's, him recounting the first time making love to an older woman. So a lovely song here called Wendy Under the Stars by The Odds.
I was sitting there watching TV. Wendy came and sat on my knee. She put a finger in my ear, but I pulled it out so I could hear what the newsman on the television said. He said the king of rock and roll was dead. And in the spooky television light, he said don't ever forget this night. I was fucking Wendy under the stars the night that Elvis died. I was fucking Wendy under the stars the night that Elvis died. As we walked across the she would yield to my young body's aching desire for an older woman's well-banked fire. By the left hand I was led to the place that we would make our bed, and embracing me we
bridge, class and down. My name is Chris Connolly from the band Hot Panda, also known as your professor. Let's get one thing straight. If there's some of you that think this class is going to be a walk of the cake or a flop about in the park, you are sadly mistaken. Half of you will drop out. And the other half of you will wish that you were dead. If I could offer any advice to those of you still hell-bent on attempting to pass my class, it would simply be to keep your radio tuned to CITR 101.9 when you're in Vancouver.
We just finished up the show there with a track by The Odds. They are playing at the big benefit for the Weiss Hall that is on August 9th, 2013. That's coming up very soon. I actually went to the Weiss Hall for the first time just a couple of weeks back, and I just loved it. You know, it's a real sense of history, and it would be a real shame if a place like that closed. So the track was by The Odds, who are playing the fundraiser. And it was off an album that came out, I guess that was 1991, the debut album. And the track was called Wendy Under the Stars. Beautiful song there. So, yeah, really important to get down to that Weiss Hall show if you get a chance, August 9th. Also performing are the Big Tops and the Palomars. And the Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society, which is a Vancouver-based, member-run, non-profit society established to produce and promote entertaining and innovative performing arts. So tickets are for the Wise Benefit Concert are $25 in advance, $30 at the door, available at Red Cat Records, High Life Records, and Brown Tickets Online. So get on down for a great night of music, including that wonderful band, The Odds. They remind me a bit, actually, some more of their poppier songs remind me a lot of a band called Even from Melbourne in Australia, who I'm going to play for you at some stage. Okay, my name's Matt. This has been Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. And don't forget, you can find us online at ozstrandedradio.com with lots of podcasts and other information. It's been a real treat to play music for you again this week and broadcast an interview. Bye for now.
Yes. I was a prisoner.
Cocaine addiction.
Cocaine took my dreams. It made me lie, steal.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Latin Summerfest is firing up the drums and dance floors on Sunday, August 18th at Trout Lake Park. Vancouver's hottest family fun features Tobasco, Nova Sol, Eddie DePont, and Adonis Puentes. For details, go to latinsummerfest.com.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
212 Productions Limited, The Baker and the Chef, Bang on T-shirts, Vistude Records, Dream Apparel and Articles for People, Dunleavy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattoon, Fortune Sound Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Perch, Project Space, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen, and then get riding.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.